This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Melissa Idris, and you're listening to The Property Show on The Morning Run. Veritas Design Group recently received two awards at the 2017 Cityscape Global Awards, and this is for its Perbadanan Kemajuan Negeri Selangor headquarters in Shah Alam. So this morning on The Property Show, Lynn Mark speaks to Azril Amir Jaffar, principal of Veritas Architects and the man behind the project, about what it takes to build an environmentally sustainable building.
First, could you tell us a little bit about your project, the PKNS HQ?
Right. First of all, thank you very much for inviting Veritas to share our experience in one of the important buildings that we have designed in the office. Certainly, this is the most important building that I have designed in my career, actually. The building is an office building, a corporate office, one of the leading state GLC in the country, which is PKNS. And it is a low-rise complex, the highest being 8-storey building. And the building is kind of gradual from 2-storey to 8-storey, you know, because the way it designed, it rises from the Shah Alam Lake Garden and become covered the building. The roof actually covered the building. Okay, it is located on 4.6 acres site next to the Taman Tasik Shah Alam, as I mentioned just now. It is opposite Plaza Alam Central, if you are familiar with Shah Alam. And the unique feature of the building is it incorporates a lot of public spaces within the complex itself. Normally because for office building is meant for office, but then here, we try to incorporate public spaces within the building. The prominent one is the roof garden for the public to enjoy. It has become the very important design character and identity of the building.
And the building actually received an award at the Cityscape Global Awards 2017, but that's not the only award received. Could you just talk us through those briefly?
Yeah, you are right. We received two awards at the Cityscape Global in Dubai this year. And apart from the award, we also received the Gold Award from the Malaysia Institute of Architects, which is the best low-rise commercial building in Malaysia in 2017. And we also received the best office development from CNBC. The project also received the best green office building from Property Inside Malaysia. Actually, besides that, of course, it is a green building. So we received 2 platinum for the building from Green Building Index Malaysia. However, we are very proud of the Cityscape Award because we are competing at the international level and we won 2 categories for the same building. I think the only project that won 2 awards.
Wow, okay, very impressive. And so what was the vision when you were designing this project?
Right. The vision that we set at the beginning of the project is to design a building that will give a new identity or a new image to the client, which is a PKNS. The PKNS used to operate from PJ, and apparently they feel that they need to relocate to capital of Selangor. So while doing that, they want to do a bit of rebranding in their organization as well. Design-wise, the building is about connections. We are looking at connecting between the park and the city, kind of like urban design approach to that. At the same time, the important element is connection with the nature, you know, because the building is located kind of in a sensitive area, which is next to the park. People think that we are taking away their park. So we have to be really subtle about it. So we do a kind of comprehensive sustainable design strategies. The building, we try to blur the walls of the building and the external environment. And as well as we try to promote the connection between peoples. Apart from office spaces, we have a series of public spaces, plazas, and the roof garden for the people to enjoy. So basically, we are thinking of creating a new icon to the city of Shah Alam, and that people of Shah Alam can enjoy and can be proud of.
And I read in the write-up for the PKNS HQ that one of the things you were trying to do was reclaim the public space. What does that mean exactly?
Basically, yeah, if you look at the title of the land, it is meant for the building. But the impression that, you know, that land is part of the Shah Alam Lake. So the approach is we want to give back, you know, what used to be the part of the garden for the people in the form of roof garden on top of the building. So, yeah, it is easier for me to explain visually, but we don't have the visuals now. But anyway,
perils of radio.
Yeah. But anyway, if you imagine, the building is kind of tucked underneath the public park. That is the simple approach to narrate the design of the building.
Right. Okay. And so this this building received both a GBI Platinum rating and a LEED Platinum rating. Could you walk us through what these mean?
GBI rating and LEED or any other ratings are recognitions or standards in the industry for green buildings. Okay, for example, like, you know, just like ISO standard or Dolby Mark for the green building. Okay, how do we achieve this? Actually, first and foremost, we try to make the building the most energy efficient by applying the passive design strategy to minimize the exposure to the sun, which is, you know, you reduce the heat absorption into the building. By doing that, you reduce the aircon loading of the buildings because the most energy consumption in building is from air condition, actually. And then by doing that, actually, you reduce about 20% of energy if you compare to the conventional building. And then the other part, how we achieve the GBI rating is having efficient M&E system. So by tweaking or choosing the right setting for the air condition, for example, you reduce another 25% of energy usage. And renewable energy sources, you know, we apply kind of renewable energy here that reduce about 10%. In our initial calculation is 10%, but the latest reading through the real data, we can achieve about 12% of the renewable energy. And then other approach that we have is we are using the enhanced energy management system, meaning you can control or monitor energy usage in the building from one room. For example, like somebody is not switching off the aircon, for example, and the building is empty. So there's a sensor that alerts the system to automatically shut off the aircon. Overall, the building only consumes about 40% of energy if you compare to the other conventional code-compliant building. And apart from that, the building also uses less water through the rain harvesting initiative. We recycle grey water as well. And then we use a lot of water efficient fittings in the building. In terms of water, we use about 60% less potable water compared to the normal building. And other initiatives, like we use a lot of recycle and we encourage a lot of recycle practice for the building users as well.
All right, I'm speaking to Azril Amir Jafar, principal of Veritas Architects. Stay tuned in a short while, we'll speak a little bit more about environmental design. BFM 89.9. We're back on BFM 89.9's The Property Show, where I'm speaking to Azril Amir Jafar, principal of Veritas Architects. And so, Veritas Design Group has an environmental design service, I suppose you would say. What does this incorporate?
Environmental design is very important part in our practice. Actually, it is an approach that is aimed to prioritize the sustainable agenda in our works, be it architectural design, interior design, landscape, or even master plan. So we try to consciously put sustainable design or environmental issues into our design. To achieve that, we have come up with our own design checklist or our own design tools. You have heard about GBI as one tool.
Yep.
You have heard about LEED from US as another tool. Internally, in-house, we have developed a tool which is called Veritas Green Checklist. Okay, but it is not as comprehensive as other tools because you need a lot of analysis. Besides, architects don't like to go through all very detailed parameters when we design buildings. So it is mainly for the passive design approach to make sure that at the onset of the design process, we start with the right footing. Why we need to have that is because that alone kind of like save a lot of cost if you start designing at the beginning. Besides that, Veritas as a design group has an engineering company set up which specializes in sustainable design. This is where we inject the efficient fitting just now or efficient M&E system into the design. We inject all the latest technology into the design as well. We also have Veritas contracts that monitor the material use because we compile the sustainable set of materials to be specified in our tender. And then at the same time, this setup also control the cost of the building.
Okay. And so what is the process in coming up with an environmentally friendly design? Could you walk us through it a little?
For the environmentally friendly design or building, the process starts with the getting to know the site. You know, whether the site is located at a mature location or located at a greenfield, new greenfield site. So those are really the important parameter. And then as well as the climate. We are so used to tropical climate. But let's say if you were to design building in Southern Hemisphere, you need to have this different approach because we practice from other part of the world as well. As well as the culture, you know. That's why if you look at the rating tools, Singapore and Malaysia, we are the same tropical climate, mm-hmm. but our culture and lifestyles are different. So the tools for Singapore, which is still sustainable design tool, is slightly different from Malaysian GBI index, Green Building Index tool. So those are, this is where the culture play an important part. After understanding the context, we need to look at the passive design strategy, meaning you need to understand the sun path and in the location of the spaces inside the building. For example, the good practice is you need to have a buffer to the eastern and western part of the building, you know, to buffer from the sun, for example.
Right.
And if you can't do that, you need to look at the building envelope, how to respond to the climate. Again, another example is like horizontal sunshading is good for the eastern and western facade. Vertical sunshading is good for the northern and southern facade. These are the simple building envelope that we need to look at when design the sustainable building. Of course, those are the cheap solution. I would say the most cost-effective solution is by getting the context and the passive design right. And then only you look into the system, which is more expensive. You know, the aircon chiller, the type of air condition, the lighting, you know, how far you want to delve into technology, for example, you know, the type of sensors you want to put into the building. Those are the expensive items. But then if you get the passive design right from the beginning, then the expensive item will be reduced as well. So those are the approach, I guess.
And so how does designing an environmentally friendly building differ from a normal building design? What are the kind of approvals that you might need, for example?
Okay, for the normal building design, the building only needs to get the approval from the local authority as long as the building complies to the building code in terms of safety and in terms of the regulations. But some local authorities nowadays already impose condition in the building approval for the building to achieve certain level of certification, either at the design stage or at the final stage. So I think the whole country is moving towards the energy efficient building, environmental design solution. The approvals is required when you are looking for the certification, the rating. You know, if, for example, you want to promote the building as the LEED certified building or GBI Platinum certified building. So you need approval. Okay, the approval, for example, for GBI, there are three stages of approval. One, the first one is you need to register the building and give some data to the Green Building Index, Sdn Bhd, which is the certification body for this. Then they will come up with the fees, you know, the process and some comments. Okay, the next stage is the actual assessment. The first part of assessment is design assessment, where we need to submit the design of the building, a lot of calculations to prove that the building is using less energy. For example, like if you are targeting for the very high rating platinum, you need to do a computer simulation, you know, to simulate the usage of energy in the building, actually. So those are processes that you need to go through at the design assessment. Okay, once you get that approved, you'll be issued with provisional certification. Okay, by having this certification, you can publicize to the public that this building is like a GBI certified building, for example. But the truth will come in later, you know. Once the building is completed, the building needs to go through a completion and verification assessment. This is where the actual performance of the buildings is assessed. You know, we need to submit the actual data of the energy usage, energy consumption, water usage, you know, etc., so that the final certification will be issued. Those are the three steps, you know, that you need to go through for GBI. Of course, GreenRe and other certification like LEED will have some other process as well.
Mm. And obviously, so GBI is Malaysia's Green Building right. Index, but that's not the only rating tool that Malaysia has, is it?
Yeah. Well, Malaysia has other tools as well, which is GreenRe. There's another tool which conforms to different types of assessment criteria. And then, of course, CIDB has come up with the MyCRES. So again, you know, the criteria is slightly different. But the common criteria for all of this is the energy efficient part of it. and then the innovative part of it. You know, if let's say if you make the building really energy efficient, so regardless of what sort of tools that you are aiming for, you could score very high scoring.
So I suppose just for a final question regarding the state of the industry, how soon do you think we will see more environmentally friendly buildings?
Right. I think we are getting there, you know. The industry is moving towards that, partly due to the introduction of various design tools that get the building industry more excited about getting more sustainable. And then besides that, the government also encourages a lot of green building initiatives to be applied in the building design through, for example, the latest, you know, through the incentives from the budgets and all that. At the moment, as there's more interest from the public to go towards the environmentally friendly building, the technology or the material comes, you know, to support it. At the moment, for example, like if you look at the buildings, you know, currently a lot of buildings has incorporate rain harvesting tank within the building, you know. And then as well as if you look at the small example, like in the toilet fittings, for example, nowadays, you have the dual flush. That is part of the environmental design incorporated in a building. But if you are looking at more comprehensive, like, you know, zero carbon building, I think it will take a generation.
Right.
Yeah, to move towards that. Why I say it will take a generation, because it requires cultural change, you know. We are so used to be in an air-conditioned building, for example, nowadays.
Yeah, so we leave the aircon on all day.
So that requires cultural change. And but now with the current technology, it is still possible to have your building aircon, as long as the running of the aircon not dependent on the fossil fuel. Probably you can increase more renewable energy initiative. Then you can still enjoy the air-conditioned spaces and at the same time make the building really tight. So, you know, the aircon is efficient, no leakages. So those are the state of the industry and how we're going to move towards the most sustainable building industry.
That was Lynn Mark speaking to Azrael Amir Jaffer, Principal of Veritas Architects. You can catch the conversation on podcast by downloading the BFM app on Google Play and the Apple App Store. Stay tuned for the 10 o'clock news bulletin coming up next on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.